Praise God. Well, it's good to see everybody. Praise the Lord. We'll shift gears here. And we'll worship the Lord in our giving. If you need an envelope, just raise your hand. Hallelujah. And Brother Jim will get one to you. Hey there.
Hey there, brother. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Oh, well, thank you, Jesus. So if you need an envelope, if you ain't already got one, just raise your hand. We'll get one to you. I know most of you pick them up when you come in. Praise the Lord. I want to shift gears here. I've asked Alan to come up and share a few things. He was here, Melissa. They've been gone for about 3 months. No, I'm just teasing. I'm just messing with them. Alan was teaching some classes for a month over in Birmingham at Life of Faith. And there were some things. I'll let him. I'm going to sort of preset up, and then I'm going to turn it over for a few minutes. Let him share just a couple of things because it was really so good. But y'all remember when Steve Sampson was here?
Yeah.
Steve Sampson made a statement, and Alan referred to this Wednesday night, and I'll let him go. But he made a statement in simplicity. I tell people you have to watch about Steve because you don't get caught up in the easiness and the how he is. But he made a statement about acknowledging God in all your ways. And I know Alan and Melissa really, that spoke some things to them personally. You know, Holy Ghost will quicken things to you in a service. Just a simple statement like that, acknowledge God in all your ways. And yet we've heard that scripture how many times? And yet, I'm going to let him say some things that out of that, that's taken place along with some other things. But he shared some things here Wednesday night that were so good. And I know some of you were not there, so I told him, I said, come back up, receive the offering, take a little bit of time, and share some of those things with us that you spoke Wednesday night, because they were so rich and so good. So, Alan, come on up, take your time, if you need, just go for it. Share some things with us that you shared with us the other night.
Good morning, everybody. Amen. We had the opportunity, the Lord blessed us with the opportunity to teach a Bible class that they have on Sunday mornings. They call it Bible and Biscuits. So we had a really good time with that. And so, as Roger said, I don't know if it was last year or the year before that Brother Steve was here. And he just made a very, very simple phrase about just saying, Lord, I acknowledge you. I acknowledge you. And that just went off in our heart. And we began to practice that. So the foundation of that is, as y'all have heard the verse before, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And so he says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. All your ways, not necessarily his ways, but the Lord doesn't tell you what time you have to be at work and what you have to do all day. As a matter of fact, many things that we have to do are beyond our control from that standpoint because we have responsibilities and accountabilities. But he said, in your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct you. So we need Holy Ghost direction in the middle of all the things we have to do every day. Now, certainly, if we're led by the Spirit to do something, that's there. But like I said, I can't just be led by the Spirit and tell my boss, the Lord said I'd come in at 10 this morning, So, at any rate, and also he says, trust the Lord with all your heart. One time I was in Savannah, Georgia, and I was dealing with some things in my heart about where we were in life. This was several years ago. And I remember exactly where I was on the elliptical machine in Savannah, Georgia, just trying to exercise it off, And so I was asking the Lord, Lord, I don't understand. Why is this going on in my life? And that wasn't anything horrible. It was just a place in life where you just felt stuck. And stuck stinks. And so I was like, Lord, I don't understand. It was almost as if someone was standing on the elliptical next to me. I was in the room by myself. And the Lord basically came up in my heart. Where did I tell you need to understand everything? You trust me with all your heart. Trust me with all your heart. And don't lean to your own understanding, but acknowledge me in this. So we began to go along this line. I could give several testimonies. One of them that's happened the most recently is our son is a Birmingham police detective. But for 5 years, he was in the West Precinct in the worst part of Birmingham as a police officer. And he loves his job, and he did very well. But all during that time, we would just say, Lord, we acknowledge you about this. Lord, we know you've got something higher for him and something better for him. And we're just trusting you with all our heart. And so about 3 or 4 weeks ago, he got a call and he was promoted to detective. He's out of the West Precinct and he's in a division now downtown Birmingham, and he's having even more fun than he's ever had in his life working with the robbery division. But they recognize him. Now, he's only been a police officer for 5 years. He's already been promoted to task force and now detective. And the sky's the limit, praise God. I expect him to be deputy chief one day. Amen. But that's just a simple thing. That's one of our ways that we were concerned about. You know, he's concerned about what we're concerned about. Every little thing. Every little thing that we're concerned about. Now, the other verse that we use as our foundation was Philemon 6, very familiar verse, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And so we talked about how that faith has to be communicated. Your faith has to be taught. Amen. To yourself, to others, to each other, to the devil, and to God. We have to communicate that faith. And it's talking about every good thing that's in us. So we're not only acknowledging God, but we're acknowledging all the good things that God put in us. God in us. You know, Acts 17 talks about in him we live and move and have our being. But you know, he said, you're in me, but I'm in you. So in me, he lives, he moves, and he has his being. And he wants us to acknowledge that. So we talked about what acknowledge means. One of the meanings of acknowledge is just accept. You know, I have to accept that he's in me and he's greater than anything I'll face. I got to accept that. Doesn't matter what it feels like. Doesn't matter what it looks like. I have to accept that and take it as mine. Another meaning of acknowledge was to express gratitude. I've got to thank him for it. Before I see it, see, that's faith. See, I love that song, Waymaker. It says, even though I can't see him, he's working. Even though I can't feel it, he's working. I got to know he's working, and I got to accept it and be thankful for it and just acknowledge him. Now, there's no real magic in saying the words, Lord, I acknowledge you, unless you're releasing trust, releasing your trust in him. Praise God. And then this is my favorite. One of the meanings of acknowledge is to declare it or state emphatically. To boldly proclaim, to express a strong belief, to insist. And one of the meanings of insist is this, to make no bones about it. Now, we know what that means down here in Alabama, right? They might not know what that means in other parts of the country. We know what make no bones about it is. I'm not playing. You know, Jesus said, surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He made no bones about it. And say, I got to accept that. I've got to be thankful for it, and I got to be bold about it. Melissa and I have talked about that before, that, you know, if we're bold with each other, just understand I'm not being bold towards you. If you ask me how I'm doing, I'm going to say I'm strong. I'm strong in the Lord. Praise God, I'm blessed. And if it comes back a little bit bold, it's not bold at you. I'm acknowledging what the Lord has put in me. Amen? And, you know, we just kind of brought out this, that when you're acknowledging the Lord, that as you keep doing that, it's like as you go along, something will be quickened to your heart. Something will be quickened to your spirit. Maybe it'll be a verse. Maybe it'll be something to declare or to proclaim over your life. Maybe it'll be something to do. You know, sometimes we got to do something. And then faith will rise up in your heart. You know, before we went on our mission trip, the Lord began to deal with us about declaring some things. We were praying about it months in advance. And we would declare things about having favor with the people that we dealt with over there. The travel, about being safe. And one of the things he had us declare about is because, you know, everybody probably just the natural inclination is you're going to go take 10 days on the mission field. You're going to come back wore out and wrung out. Well, the Lord was like, so don't say that. You proclaim that you're going to come back refreshed. You're going to come back full of strength and full of life. And, you know, we did that for several months before we went. And, you know, we declared things about favor, about our accommodations, about, you know, we get sleep while we're there, about the ministry time, about dealing with people, and just all different kinds of aspects as we would pray about this. But, you know, we came back on that trip. We probably got back at, 3 in the morning, got into bed, and I had wisely taken that day off from work. But, you know, we slept in a little bit and got up, and we never missed a beat. We went right back, and we were just as strong as when we left. But the Lord had quickened that to us, and he'll quicken things to you as you acknowledge him about whatever you're dealing with. Praise God. And I'm just looking over a couple notes here. Now, one of the things also that we talked about in these classes was, is from the Grace Conference, Brother Rob Rufus talked about how that David had encouraged himself in the Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, there's a very familiar story where David and his merry men came back from battle, and they got home, and the houses were burned, and the kids and the wives had been kidnapped. Now, the verse says that they took them and they slew not any, but David and them didn't know that. They're just gone. You know, they didn't have Facebook. They didn't leave them a note. They didn't have a surveillance camera. They just come home and their houses are burned. Everything they have is gone. And it says they wept till they couldn't weep anymore. And David was one of them. Now, I'm sure that all of us have dealt with situations where you cried till you couldn't cry anymore. But it said then, in the middle of that, David got a hold of himself. And verse 6 says, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Or in other words, he acknowledged God. The 8th verse actually says, David inquired of the Lord, or he acknowledged, and asked the Lord some questions. And God gave him direction about what to do about that situation. They end up actually pursuing those guys and getting their stuff back. But the thing was, he acknowledged the Lord, he strengthened himself, and he said he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And one of the meanings of that word encourage was strengthened himself. He strengthened himself. And you know what? You're not always going to feel like it. Praise God. As a matter of fact, one of the things that were brought out in the Grace Conference was about Brother Jeremiah Johnson did such a good job. You heard those services, Rob. Did such a good job. But he said this. He said, we have got, for it comes to identity, we have got to divorce ourselves from a fallen nature. We've got to divorce ourselves from that fallen nature. And as I began to teach, we brought this out in the classes. The Lord just kind of brought this example to me, and I shared this Wednesday night, that when, in my job, I deal with a lot of people that need help, okay? And they have to apply for it, and I help them apply for it. And one of the things I have to do is, because they're trying to figure out how much money they make, is they have to tell their marital status. And so... So on this application, they have to tell whether they're married or single or divorced or widowed or whatever the case may be. And many, many times they're divorced or separated, and the agency's wanting to know information like, what's their name? Well, many times they can remember their name because they're mad at them, okay? They still have feelings toward that person. But what's their date of birth? I don't know. Where do they live? I don't know. Phone number? I don't know. Social Security number? I don't know. I can't remember. It's been so long ago. And so what we'll many times do on that application is we will write no contact. So that person they're divorced from, they've got no contact with them. And what the Lord brought to my heart was, when it comes to that fallen nature, have no contact. Have no contact. Be so far removed from it you don't even remember. Because you're divorced from that. You know, Jesus told the people that didn't believe on him, said, you're of your father the devil. Well, if we believe on him and God's our father... Well, the other example he gives is that if you're in part of the church, then it's like a husband and wife. Christ is the bridegroom, and we're the bride. Well, if you're on the other side of the coin, you're a spouse to another, and he's a bad husband. Well, when we got born again, it was a nasty divorce. Nasty divorce. And we took him for everything he had. We got the house. We got the car, we got all the life insurance, we got all the money. And as a matter of fact, the new person we were espoused to drug him through the streets and made a show of him openly. Because that's our identity. That's who we belong to. And you know what? We've got to accept it, we got to be thankful for it, and we got to make no bones about it. Praise God. That's who we are. Amen. And we talked about a good bit about strength there. You're never going to feel like talking like you're strong when you feel weak. Joel said, let the weak say I'm strong. 99% of the time, I would even say 100% of the time, you're not going to feel like it when you don't feel strong, saying I'm strong. I'm strong. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. But we have to acknowledge it, that we are strong. We have to realize how strong we are in him. Praise God. How much power we have. Jesus said you'll receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. One of those means of power is strength and ability. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power. Same word, strength. We have a spirit of strength about us. And we have to draw from that strength on the inside because he's put it in us. We brought out from Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5, that counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. But if you understand it, you'll draw it out. Well, that word counsel has a lot of meanings. You know, it means knowledge. It means ability. It means strength. It means, I like to say, know-how. When I don't know how to do something, it's only inside of me, and I can draw it out. And see, I have to acknowledge the Lord. You know, many, many times in my business, if I don't know what I'm doing, I say, Lord, I just acknowledge you here. I had an example of this on, I think it was it Thursday last week when I went to Coleman? I think it was Thursday. Our bosses had asked us to do something that I had never done before. And it wasn't like earth-shattering or anything like that, but it was something I didn't know how to do. It was part of my ways. So I began to acknowledge the Lord about this. And they didn't give us a lot of time to do it, okay? And I'm a marketing agent, so I'm always out in the field and doing things. So I just began to acknowledge the Lord. Lord, I don't know how to do this, but you'll show me. You'll direct my path. You'll show me who to go to, and I'm going to get this done today because of the holiday coming up. I didn't have a lot of time. They wanted it done this week. I'm like, okay. So I got in my car, and I went down the road saying, I got plenty of time. I've got plenty of energy. I've got plenty of ability to do this because the greater one in me will rise up in me. Praise God. So as I went on my journey that day, I was impressed to go in this one place that I go to quite a bit. And the girl very rarely is available to see me. But I called her. I was impressed to call her ahead of time, say, I'm coming. Well, that was just quickening me. Call her. And she said, yeah, I'll be here all day. Come see me. Okay. So I went there, and I gave the girl my card, and I sat there for an hour. Any of you in sales ever been there? But when I went into her office, I told her what I needed. She said, sure, I'll be glad to do that for you. Well, I had to get three of these things done, and that was number one. Well, I called the next girl I was going to go see, and she was in a meeting. And they said, we don't know when she's going to be out. I said, okay. And it was just across the building there. I said, okay, I'll just wait around. So by me waiting an hour to see that other girl, when I left there, I went to the other place. Guess who's standing at the counter? The person I needed to see. And I told her what I needed. She said, oh, sure, we'll take care of that. I said, well, there's two out of three right there. Praise God. And then the last place that I went, it was almost lunchtime. And, you know, when you go to doctor's offices and hospitals, nobody wants you to come in at lunchtime. Nobody. So it was 15 minutes till 12, and it was a 10-minute drive where I needed to go to. I said, well, you know what? I'm just impressed. I'm going to go for it. See, I'm just acknowledging the Lord and letting him direct my path. I walk in this place at 5 minutes to 12, and I said, is so-and-so here? They said, yeah, she's right there. I walked in, and you know what she said to me? I've been meaning to call you so we could set that thing up. I said, well, let's put it on the calendar right now. And we did. And, you know, within about an hour and a half, I had all three of those things done. Praise God. He directed my path. Like I said, we shared so many more things along this line, guys, about strength, about acknowledging the Lord, about encouraging ourselves in him. And just, it was such a good time. Everybody was so receptive and so thankful. As a matter of fact, we'll ask you for your prayers. They liked it so much, they asked me to do the Sunday morning service next week. And we're going to share along this line about acknowledging God and about encouraging. About what? Oh, yeah. Okay. Roger wanted me to mention this because as a part of this that we got to was talking about strength, okay? Proverbs says this, the tongue of the wise is health. Well, if the tongue of the wise is health, then the tongue of the wise is strength. We can talk strength. You know, Melissa and I have been healthy most of our lives because we don't really talk sickness. Now, neither one of us are stupid. We know when the other one's not feeling our best. But we don't talk about it. We don't make a big deal about it. You know, we'll pray for each other and we'll encourage each other. But we don't really talk about it. We talk abundance. You got to talk abundance before it shows up in your checking account. You got to talk increase. You know, whenever I hear things going on at work about things are down, not for me. Not for me. You know, Jesus, whenever he went up to the fig, I'm going to preach a little bit now. When Jesus went up to the fig tree and saw the leaves there, it said he was happy. But then all of a sudden, there was no fruit there. That's disappointing. But it said Jesus answered the fig tree. You know, sometimes you got to answer stuff. When things don't look right, you got to answer, say, not me, not my house. That thing's not coming near me. Praise God. You got to answer it. And so what the Lord gave us here was in Proverbs 18:21. This is a very familiar verse that says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And so, as I begin, the Lord just impressed me to study that verse out. And what I saw there was that death and life are in the power of the tongue. That word power is, if you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, the first word is a hand. A hand. A hand. A hand. As a matter of fact, in the King James Bible, that word is translated 1,300 times, hand, not power. So what I began to see there was death and life are in the hands of the tongue. Your tongue has a hand. Your tongue has a hand. You're not in God's hands, you're in the hands of your tongue. Death and life. Now, not just whether you live or die, but what about your manner of life? Are you going to live a life of health and strength and happiness and joy? That's what we got to talk. You got to take the five fingers of your hand, of your tongue, and reach out and grab a hold of things and hold on to them. And there's some things you got to let go of. One of the things that Melissa and I, the Lord impressed us to let go of, is that word tired. Just let go of it. You know, just let it go. If you're feeling tired, it's a whole different thing to say, I'm so tired, to say, it's time to rest. It's time to rest. You know, I told this story before. Maybe I told some of it here. When my sister fell last year at a wedding and broke her ankle, very bizarre accident. It's just crazy how it happened. But anyway, she was rehabbing from that, and she would just say over and over, I'm so exhausted. I am so tired. And I told her, I said, sweetheart, you're 45 years old. You're going to have to quit that because you got a long way to go. You got a lot more life to live talking that way. I never could get her out of it. But what the Lord impressed me was is that she's enforcing that in her life. She's creating that in her life. But you can turn that around and create life and energy and start saying, I'm so full of energy. I'm so full of strength. You know what? I'm so healthy. I'm so healthy. Praise God. I'm so healthy. So I reached out and grabbed those words with the hands of my tongue. I'm so strong. I'm so smart. Praise God. You know, I've told you guys this before, that the Lord impressed me when it came to my job last year when I took a new job, and it was tough for me to start saying, I enjoy my job and I'm really, really good at it. Yeah, yeah. Okay, I will. And there are times that, you know, as you get a little bit older, that the enemy is going to want to try to make you think that you're losing a step, you know. But y'all heard of Brother Keith Moore. He has a saying that he does, and he says it quite often. He says, I'm quick, I'm sharp, I'm bright, and I'm smart. I'm good looking, I'm very rich, and I'm a major blessing. Praise God. And I've adopted that. He's been saying it for years. So whenever I'm dealing with stuff at work or whatever in life, and maybe I made a mistake or something, I said, no, I'm better than that. I'm quick. I'm sharp. I'm smart. But then I asked the Lord to give me something else with that, about my body, about my health. And so the Lord gave this to me. I'm fit. I'm trim. I'm muscular and lean. I'm full of happiness, and I'm full of peace. I got a spring in my step. I'm full of energy and life. I don't lag behind, and I feel good all the time. I'm healthy and strong, I live long, and my youth is renewed like the eagles. Praise God. Anybody that wants that confession, I'll be glad to get it to you. Praise God. But we've said it over and over, you know, because Deuteronomy talks about how that when Moses was 120, you know, he still was strong, his eyes were good. I've said my hearing's good too, praise God. But it's one translation, the easy-to-read version, says he still walked with a spring in his step. And I tell you what, I've adopted that. If I get up in the morning and I ain't feeling right, I'll say, I'll walk with a spring in my step. You know, it doesn't take long to get yourself encouraged in the Lord if you just yield to it. I remember Brother Hagin talking about a woman that came to his house and knocked on the door when he was pastoring at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, and wakes him up and is talking about crying. He thinks she committed an unpardonable sin or something. She's crying her eyes out. And he finally gets her calm and says, Sister, what's wrong? I just don't feel God anymore. He said, I guess I look so aggravated, you know, it startled her. And he said, what do you mean you don't feel? I just can't find him anymore. He said, Sister, if I went by feelings, I'd have you pray for me right now. But he said, this is what you do. He said he just knelt down with her and took her hand and said, Father, I just thank you that I'm a child of God. I thank you, Lord, that I'm born again, that I'm a new creature, that you love me and I love you. And he just went on and on praying like that. She said, all of a sudden, a light came over his face. She said, I saw your countenance change. He said, something just bubbled up on the inside of me. So that's encouraging ourselves in the Lord and acknowledging Him. And you know what? When you don't feel like it is a time, you've got to make no bones about it. You've got to take the hand of your tongue and grab a hold of things. Because there's something going to try to take it away from you. That's why he said, hold fast your confession. What do you hold things with? With your hand. You hold things with your hand. Hold fast the confession of your faith without wavering. Why? Because somebody's going to try to come take it from you. Praise God. Hold fast the confession of your faith. I told this other night, it was kind of like I saw the little cartoon Shrek. When the Frog King was dying, all of a sudden, there was a fly flew in front of him. He just went and grabbed that fly with his tongue. There's things you got to do. When you hear a good word of God, you got to reach out there and grab a hold of it with your mouth. See, some of us have, in certain teachings and things that we've got on to grace, and I'm not talking about here, but just I've heard people that they don't need to do this anymore. Don't need to talk right. But let me tell you something. No matter how much grace you hear, if you don't talk right, you don't think right, things aren't going to go right. Praise God. It says, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. You know, you can pierce holes in your life like Swiss cheese with our tongue. You can. Words can wound. And words can hurt, but praise God, words can heal, and words can bless, and we got to talk it, and hold fast to it with the hands of our tongue, and talk strength, talk health, talk life, amen. Was there anything else I missed? Praise God. Well, I'll turn it back over to Roger. Thank you all for being so kind to listen, and we've really missed our church family doing these classes, but we'll be back soon, amen. Praise
amen. God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, And like I said, there's a lot of things he said Wednesday night to go with that. But one thing that impressed me the most is like he said in the concordance, your tongue, where the word power, it means hand. Your tongue has a hand, and you have to take hold of certain things, and you have to release certain things. That is strong. Strong, strong, strong. One thing we mentioned was, when Jesus was going to Jairus' house to minister to his daughter, and yet the woman with the issue of blood interrupted that journey. And yet, you know, the story, for time's sake, I guess he got interrupted for a little bit, and news came back to Jairus. You remember they came to him and said, don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter's dead. And I mean, before Jairus could respond, Jesus turned to him and addressed him. And he said, you don't fear, don't be afraid, only believe. You know, he had to address that. And he had to do so immediately. There's things that you have to acknowledge God in right then. Because situations come up, you can get a phone call. It doesn't matter. You can be in a meeting. All of a sudden, out of the blue, you bend over, do something, your back sort of goes out. He talked about that. He didn't even get into that. He shared that Wednesday night. And
let me acknowledge I forgot to take the
office. It's fine. Yeah, they're pretty good with it now. They're pretty much conditioned. But what happens is you have to be, there's things you have to acknowledge immediately. Because the devil comes immediately sometimes to try to steal the word, steal things from you. Because Jesus told Jairus, he said, I'll come heal her. I mean, it's a done deal. And yet we know the end of the story, it happened. But he still had to, like Alan talked about, he had to answer the situation that was going on. Because he knew those words, what they would do to Jairus. Acknowledge God in all of our ways. And I'm telling you this, the more we acknowledge Him, what do you mean acknowledge Him? You remember we talked about in our study of Corinthians how the wisest thing we can do, Christ is our wisdom. Christ is the wisdom of God. He's the power of God. I'm talking about the preaching of the cross and preaching of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's the wisdom of God. It's the power of God. And what you have to do first and foremost is acknowledge your redemption through His blood in every situation that will try to tell you otherwise. Amen? So thanks, Alan, for sharing that. Praise God. You got your Bibles? Let's shift gears. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. We'll begin this journey. I'll share a few things here for a few minutes, and then we'll get through and try to finish this out over the next week or two. I'm talking about the whole book of 1 Corinthians. I'm looking forward to getting in some things here. This is such wonderful, wonderful word. Father, thank you so much for the words that have been shared already this morning, and thank you for that which we're fixing to share just for a few minutes. Holy Ghost, thank you for giving utterance. And not only giving utterance, but helping us see things and know things we haven't seen and understood. Just increasing us more and more. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Paul said right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, "Moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand." Now, let me say something to you. You know, Alan made a reference a while ago. When you hear a good word of God, and the gospel is the good news. When you hear the gospel, where you hear things that proclaim to you what Jesus has done for you and me, what the Father has done for us through him, what we've been made, who we are, listen, you have to receive that. Not only do you have to receive it, you're going to have to stand in it. You know, the scripture says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. What do you mean stand therefore? You're going to have to stand on the truth, the good news of what Jesus has done for you. And there's things out there, and he mentioned this a while ago, there's things out there that will try to tell you that's not the case. You're going to have to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. You and I will have to cast down imaginations, and we'll have to bring thoughts into captivity. See, because Paul says the weapons of our warfare, and he uses the word warfare, are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down those imaginations, those images. See, you start getting an image on the inside of you. What do you mean? You just don't see it, that it's ever going to work. You ever heard anybody say, "Well, I just don't see how that's going to work"? You ever heard that statement? "I just don't see"? Now, they'll say that, but really that's the image they have on the inside of their heart. "I just don't see myself healed. I just see myself always having to just to deal with this. This is just, I just see myself always having to deal with it." That is an image on the inside of you. But Paul's talking about the gospel. And he says you have to receive it and you have to stand in it. Praise God. "I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory." Now, I got a little one by the word "keep in memory." And over in the margin of my Bible, the Greek says "hold fast." Now, we've done just heard something. See, and it's going to connect with this. What do you mean hold fast? You're going to have to hold fast to something, but we've already been told and taught here this morning that death and life are in the hand, King James says power, but in the hand of the tongue. You know, Paul talked about the spirit of faith. We'll get into that in our study in 2 Corinthians. He quoted David where he says, "I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." See, faith has a voice. The righteousness has a voice. The righteousness of faith does not say certain things. In other words, it turns loose, the hand of its tongue turns loose certain things. It don't say, "Oh God, please come and do something." And a lot of times, listen, people are sincere. People are in situations. And listen, this is not a put down. But a lot of times people are praying prayers to God and they're begging God, literally sort of they're almost begging God to do something for them. "Oh, please, God, please, please, God." That's a tough situation. "Please, God." And yet they're asking God to do something that he's already done. That's a wrong way to pray. And yet a lot of Christians pray that kind of prayer. He can't answer that prayer. Even though he loves us and his love is unchangeable towards us, nothing will be able to separate us from the love that he has towards us, because he commended his love towards us while we were yet sinners, and he sent Jesus to us. But he can't answer that prayer. You have to keep in memory certain things. You have to hold fast to certain things. What do you mean? The gospel. Now, when we say the gospel, Paul's going to say some other things here, but we know the gospel consists of everything that God did for us through his son Jesus. And I'm talking about everything. Because we see where Paul tells the church at Corinth, and like I said in this next letter, he said all things, plural, are yours. See, we have an inheritance as the saints of God. There's different things in your inheritance. Not just one thing. There's many things in your inheritance. But you have to receive this by faith, and you have to keep in memory. You have to hold fast to it. Well, how do you hold fast with it? You've got to hold fast with your hand. The hand of what? The hand of your tongue, because your tongue is connected to your heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I'm telling you right now, folks, I'm talking to me just as much as I'm talking to you. Alan standing up here talking. I'm taking hold of it. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. He said, keep it in memory or hold fast what I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Verse 5. And that he was seen of Cephas, or Peter, then of the 12. Let me tell you something. You know the Lord is very personal with us. Now we know the situation with Peter. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. Jesus told him he would. He said, no, I won't. No, I won't. I'll die with you. I'll go all the way to the end. I'll never deny you, Lord. And here's the thing about it. If you read the Gospels, he's not the only one that said it. There's a verse in the Scripture that says, and all the disciples said the same thing. It wasn't just him. They all said it. But he followed him. Not everybody followed him. And yet we got different accounts of this in the Gospels. And yet one account says that when Jesus turned and looked at him, he was cursing and swearing while he was denying him. And they made eye contact. But before this happened, you remember the words that Jesus told Peter? He said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. Now, Jesus knew specifically how the devil was going to try to sift him. He was going to try to use his failure and his mistake, what he should have done, what he didn't do, or what he did do that was not right. He was going to use that against him to the point that he was going to try to establish in Peter's heart that what he had done was unforgivable. In other words, he'll always look at me differently because of that situation. You know, there's people today that deal with situations like that in their lives, not from God. Now, religion will try tell you that God's that way, but he's not. But I'm talking about just in relationships with people. There's people, because of what they did, they will always look at that person a certain way because of what they did or what they didn't do or should have done. Can I say something to you? All of us need a revelation of the power of the blood of Christ, the forgiveness that we all enjoy. Because if we had a true revelation of righteousness in the gospel and what it produced, we would never look at someone in that manner. Because the Bible tells you, if you offend in one point, you're guilty of it all. Even when Paul, to the church at Rome, discussed in the first chapter situations that are ungodly to the point that people have given themselves over to a reprobate mind. And yet, if you go to the second chapter, he talks to the Jews and said, let me just tell you, I know you look at what I just talked about here. He said, but you're just as guilty. You're inexcusable yourself. And I know some of those people are, you know, the religious people are so puffed up. Well, I don't have that kind of manner of behavior in my life. Now, we're not condoning that or saying that it's godly. But sometimes people get puffed up, and then their sin is not as bad as somebody else's sin. No matter what sin it is, every sin, all sin, it takes redemption through His blood. It has to be atoned for. It has to be paid for. Lord, thank you. He was seen of Cephas. Jesus wants, here's my point of it. Jesus will make sure, if you'll just open up your heart, He will reveal to you by His Spirit how much He loves you. He will reveal to your heart how much He wants to bless you and to bring good into your life. You know, we need to get up every day in a receiving mode, not a demand mode. All of us have things we have to do. It's like Alan was talking about earlier. We all have responsibility. Okay? Sometimes we allow the responsibilities of life, it really, the Bible calls them the cares of life, to begin to affect our heart. And it can affect our heart to the degree that we're not really receiving things. You have to receive them. You have to stand in certain things. But we need to be with a mindset that God, every day, has new mercies, like the Bible says He has for us. Right? His mercies are new. When? Every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Oh, we need to get up and sing maybe. Great is Thy faithfulness. Oh, God, my Father, morning by morning. What kind of mercies? What? New mercies I what? I see. Ooh, I'm getting chill bumps already thinking about that. You know, the person who wrote that song was being influenced by the Holy Spirit at the time they wrote that song. There was a divine influence impacting their heart and their thought life, trying to reveal to them the total reality of the mercies of God that are new every morning. And He wants us to see them. Yes. And let me say this to you. Acknowledging God in all of your ways, it's connected to it. I'm telling you, it's connected to it. I mean, that is a simple thing, but I'm telling you right now, because we found out even here lately, there's some things just we could testify. I'm not going to get into it right now because I'm going to close out. But I found out that if you'll just acknowledge God, like Alan was talking about, don't try to force things. Don't try to make things happen of your own effort. Truly trust. Expect. When we're talking about trust, you know, faith really, really expects and believes that good's going to happen.
Yes.
Not bad. Good. And I'm telling you right now, I think we mentioned this Wednesday night, even when you acknowledge God in something, and maybe there has been some time, it could be months, it could be a year or two. I like, he mentioned Brother Keith, I like what Brother Keith said about this as well. He said one time he'd acknowledged God in an area, prayed about something, went before the Lord with it, and there was some time that went, maybe it was a year and a half too, and he's like, the thought came to him, man, it's not working. This is not working. And then he realized that the Father would never tell him it's not working. He said, hey, just don't know me. You know, God would never tell me that it's not working. Jesus would never tell me it's not working. So where's that voice coming from? Where's that thought coming from? He said, then I realized he's a liar. There is something working. He's trying to tell me it's not working. He's bringing the thought to me that it's not working. So he said, it is working. And that in itself, it did come to pass exactly what he desired. He didn't have to ante up again. All he had to do is trust. He'd already acknowledged God in it. You know, let the Lord build the house. Don't want to labor in vain. Don't want to do it in my own strength. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And then yet, we've seen this just... when you get over there and you don't try to force things, but you want to truly listen to God and acknowledge him and then allow him to speak to your heart or to do some things that he wonderfully does as far as his influence on other people and things of that nature, then all of a sudden you'll find yourself standing right in the middle of what you desired. It's all come to pass, and he gets all the glory and credit for it because you absolutely realize who's behind all of it and whose hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Hey, here's the deal with this. We're just getting started. There's some good things in this chapter, but we got here to Cephas because Jesus made an appointment to come see him personally. And then he appeared to the other disciples. You know why? Because Jesus cares that much about that, about us individually. He cares that much about us individually and collectively, of course. But listen, it's personal with him. You ever heard anybody say, would you please like to, you know, I've been in churches, services where you have an invitation, and the invitation, would you like to come and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Well, you know, it is personal. It's very personal with him. So personal that he wanted to make sure he saw Peter first. Why? Because it don't take long that what happened to Judas could happen to Peter. It don't take but just a few minutes. I usually don't do this, but some of you may as aware of this, but I'm going to say this because I felt impressed to say it. Let me tell you something. The power and the heart of the Master for us. The love. See, the gospel that Paul was trying to preach and to deliver to people was so strong, had so much power in it, that it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that would believe. And yet, we had a young man. Thank God he gave his life to Jesus. Gave his life here in a church service a few years back. And yet, he had some issues in his life he dealt with. And he'd been incarcerated before. And he was doing well. Doing well. And somebody, I think from his family, cousins or something of that nature, what I was told, came by. Hey, I need you to go with me. They got off in the car, went off together. And he slipped up and made a mistake. And of course, when he came back, he was under the influence of some things, said some things, did some things. And of course, it flipped some people out. They called the authorities. They put him in jail. I couldn't get to see him. They wouldn't let nobody see him, I think, over the weekend. And so on Monday morning, I was going to go down there and see him. And he was in a cell. And he was about to be released in 2 hours because the people who had called the authorities were not going to press any charges against him. So he's not going to have any charges against him. But see, the devil came to his mind and says, because of what you just did, you're going back. You're going to go back to prison. In 2 hours, he's walking. Free. No charges. But he took his own life in the jail cell. He hanged himself. Because he thought that he was going back to prison. And the truth and reality was in 2 hours he was walking as a free man. And we could have got to see him and minister to him. Jesus wanted to go see Peter because he knew, listen to me, he knew that Satan wanted to sift him. And he knew the means and methods that he would use to try to take him out. Do you know Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? But you know, the devil's devices is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When we get a revelation of the true gospel, of the power of the love and forgiveness that the Lord has for us, to such degree. See, there's degrees and depths of his love. I've said this before, and I'm going to say this again as we close. For the most part, the church, they believe that their sins are forgiven. But for the most part, the church just has no revelation of what degree that they are forgiven. The depth and the breadth and the length and the height of this love and the heart of our Savior, our Shepherd, who loves us so much and gave his life for us. That's why Paul said this. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. And the life that I now live in the flesh down here on this earth, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. For I do not frustrate the grace of God. What can frustrate grace? Not believing. Not having any faith can frustrate grace. Faith in what? A faith that works by a revelation of his love. Galatians 5:6 says, faith worketh by love. New Testament, New Covenant faith is going to be driven by the love of God. It's going to work by the love of God. Paul says, I live my life now by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Constantly believing and adhering to and trusting and acknowledging, nothing can separate me from my Savior. Nothing can separate me from goodness and mercy. It will follow me all the days of my life. Oh, glory to God. And you know what? We hold fast to these things. We keep in memory. How do we hold fast? We believe, and therefore we speak, or we acknowledge. See, when you acknowledge him in all of your ways, acknowledge him in all your ways is not only inquiring of him and saying, Lord, what about this? Acknowledging him sometimes can acknowledge what he's already done for you through his death, burial, and resurrection. You acknowledge that. You acknowledge him and what he did for you in everything, in all of your ways.